This is Victory House.
This month, we're going to be looking at what I call relationship goals. Relationship goals. You know, the other time I was looking at Twitter and I saw that one of the trending hashtag is relationship goals. And it still trends. People like to, they will see stuff and then they will go, they see an old man and an old woman that have been married for a long time. They'll say that's their relationship goal. That sometime in the future they want to be old and gray and still holding their wife and still loving their wife. That's their relationship goal. So people tend to want to have relationship goals. And it is not far-fetched because God made it so. Let's look at the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I will read verse 12. I'll read verse 17. And then I will read verse 31. Genesis chapter 1. I will read verse 12. I will read verse 17. And then I will read verse 31. Now, so we start with relationship goals as the theme for the whole month. But today I want to zero in on what I call celebration. Can you talk to somebody and say celebration? Celebration. Genesis chapter 12, chapter 1, verse 12. Genesis chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. You know, I was reading it, was it yesterday? And I was like, how do we compare if it is good or not good? It's only God that is seen. And we have been told that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Because, you know, one time my wife told me that, I don't think I can cook anything that is not good. I said, thank God you know. But the food is still good. Because she just feels that everything that she does or every food that she cooks for me is good. You know, even if it is not good, most of the time I'll just say, it's good. But I think it's tasting. So in this case, God was the only guy around, but God still thought it was a good thing to say what he's the only one seeing that is good. I'm going to get to why he's saying that. So Genesis 1:12, God saw everything that he has created. And at this time, it was the third day. Can you imagine what was created by the third day? Because that was just half of creation. Man had not shown up, and God said it was good. All right. Okay. Verse 17. Genesis 1:17. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. Verse 18 says, to govern the day and night and to separate light from darkness. And God saw it was. And then verse 31. I love God. God always checks his own stuff and says, it's good. It's good. My job is good. I did a good job. You know, I know so many people, when they do stuff, they like to say, oh, it's not good. It's not good. If they are the ones involved, they want to say it's not good, but they don't want you to tell them that it's not good. So they will tell you, I don't think my food is nice. But if you say that the food is not good, God bless you. They can lay hands on you. But they will come and meet you and say, I don't think my dress is looking good. And if you dare tell them that, I think so too. I think your dress is looking horrible. And you'll be like, oh. But you asked me. You are the one that first said that it's not looking good. So God here said, he's been saying that it's good, it's good, it's good. Then verse 31, he comes here. He says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Remember, it's still only God seeing all these things, and he's the one telling himself it is good, it is good. But when he got to 31, when he had finished everything, he didn't just say it is good, he said it's very, very good. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm very good. Yeah, that's because it was after God had created man that God brought into the equation that it was very, very good. Hallelujah. One of the things we will notice about God, I'll get back to that scriptures in a bit. One of the things that we will notice about God is that when God wanted to create man, God had been, in this Genesis chapter 1, God had been speaking. He has been saying a lot of things. He will say this should come to pass. He will say that should come to pass. He will comfort light. He will do this. He will do that. But when he got to man, he started the discussion like this. Let us create man in our own image. It was only at the point when he needed to create man that he used the word let us. So it appears that the other creation was pretty much maybe one aspect of the Trinity. Maybe it was just God the Father that was just speaking. It was God the Father that was speaking. And since he was speaking the word, maybe God the Son was the word that was happening and all of that. But it was not a concession. They did not have a meeting. There was no let us in the creation of light. There was no let us in the creation of the sky. There was no let us even in the creation of animals. Of course, we know that there was a unity. We know that they were together. We know that they agreed together. But the Bible did not put it as let us. So in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, God said, let us create man in our own image. Now that gets me. Why is God saying, let us create man in our own image? God is trying to show us something there, the power of relationships. God is trying to say that, look, I myself or the Godhead, we are relational. The Godhead is relational, and this relational God wants to create a relational being. So man is a very relational being. Man is a very social being. The reason social media is doing so well is because it gets man. That's who we are. We are social being. We are people that have been created to be relational. 80% of what you will do in life is with people. Have you noticed that we are 7.0 billion people on the surface of the earth? And you are only one of those 7.0 billion people. That means majority of the people is not you. Newsflash. So you are not majority. You are not as popular as you think. You are not in the major. I was going to say minority, and I didn't want to hurt some people's feeling, but you are not the majority. So others are the majority. Now, so God is relational. God created us to be relational. In fact, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. God himself said this. Remember that when we started this whole discussion, God was saying, good, good, very good. Now, God gets here to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And God now said, it is not good. The first time God will say it is not good was here. And why was he not good? Because the original intention of God for man from beginning, from Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, was that let us create man like us. And we are in a let. We are in a company. We have a group. It's not just one person, one personality. There are three personalities in the same Godhead. And now man, Adam, is just standing alone. So God is saying that it is not good for man to be alone. And can I still say it's still not good for man to be alone? Now, not maritally alone, but just generally, it is not good for man to be alone. The best that you can get of your life, it is when you introduce it into a community. Man was made to live in a community. Man was made to live in a village. Man was made to live, to relate to other people. Man, everything God wants to do, he didn't put in you. There are some things he wants you to do that he puts in other people. That if you don't relate with them, you won't get it. You won't. There are places he wants to get you to. There are places he wants to get me to. And those places are tied to people. Sometimes people think that, oh, their next level is a skill. But many times, your next level is a person. It's a person you meet. That's why everybody you meet, you need to treat them like gold. Because everybody is a potential to your next level. Everybody you meet can be the person that will take you to the next level. Every person you meet can be the person that will connect you to the next level. I talk about the principle of the butler. Every one of us needs a butler. We need a butler. Because it is the butler that will mention your name before Pharaoh. There are places that you can't get to, that some people have already gotten to. If you know those people, they can mention your name where you cannot get to. And because they mention your name where you can't get to, you get to where you are supposed to get to. You know, this morning we started in our Bible study talking about big dreams. Can I tell you that if you have big dream like Joseph, and you don't have a butler that will tell Pharaoh about you, you will be a big dreamer, but you'll still be in the prison. There are many big dreamers, but they are in the prison. Because the relationship that they should have with their butler, they have messed it up. They have broken the lines. They have burnt the bridge. They have messed up that relationship that God has ordained for them to take them to the next level. They have taken it lightly. What? Is it not you? I will get another person. Is it not that? I will move into another way. Is it not this? I will do that. One of the regrets people usually have at their deathbed, it's not because they don't achieve a lot. Most people, it's not that. I mean, when you grow old and you are gray, you are not thinking, I wish I had really, really studied more and then gotten that project. Sometimes the regrets are people. I wish I spent more time with my son. I wish I spent more time with my wife. When people die and some people are crying, they are not crying because of money. I mean, real human beings. I mean, I know some people will be crying because of money. I mean, people that have correct blood flowing through their veins, they are crying because they will miss that person. This week, I cried. I was listening to a song. I put the song together last week. I have a playlist. I usually put playlists together for myself just to control my atmosphere in my prayer time. So I put together this praise list before we did Enforce. I called it Enforce. It's on YouTube. In fact, this one I made it public. Usually I'll keep it private because it's not anybody's business. But I made it public. So I had somebody's song and, you know, several other songs. So this guy was singing a particular song. Then he mentioned something in another language. And I remembered something that God had nudged my heart for before. And I've been asking God, what do you want me to do this year for you? You know, I'm going to get younger this year. Amen. So I've been asking God during my birthday, what do I want to do? Because some people have been asking me, do you want to celebrate? I say, forget it. I'm grateful, but I don't need party. I'm thinking of what God, what do you want me to do? So this guy says something, and he hit a nerve. And the nerve it reminded me of my grandmother. And I started to weep. And I remembered that relationship. I remembered some of the things she said to me. And I started to weep. I was not weeping because she would, my grandmother used to give me money. But I was not weeping because, if my grandmother was still here, maybe if I needed money now, just call. Please, can you give me so amount of money? That wasn't what I was crying for. I was crying because I remembered that relationship. And I missed that relationship. So in life, relationships are a big deal. Very big deal. Very, very, very big deal. You know, so because God created us as relational being. Let me also say this. What you have right now is usually more important than what you want. I'll explain. Many of us have wants, yeah. We have desires. I mean, this is still February 2018. There are things you want to do. You want to go places. You want to do that. You want to do this. You want to do that. But can I tell you something, that what you have right now may be even important, more important than what you want. But you see, the challenge for you and I is that somehow, because we already have it, we don't value it as much as what we want. Some people in this room now, they want money. You know, I was speaking to somebody the other day, and the person said, I want to make a lot of money, a lot of money, a lot of money. The way the guy said it, when I was talking to my wife, she was like, really? You know, I don't have a problem with money. Money is good. I believe people should get money. We're going to talk about money in 2018 here, amen? And you will make a lot of that, amen? But money is not everything. Money is not everything. So some people here want to get a lot of money. But do you know you have some things that are bigger than money today? You have health. Some of you here, you can eat by yourself. I mean, most of you here. Amen. If you are fasting, you decided to fast. It's not because the food can't go down. There are people that they don't mind the money that they have. Just give me peace. Just let me be able to sleep. I stumbled on something that somebody had been awake for almost a year. His brain cannot recognize sleep. Have you guys heard about it? I'm sure I'm not even saying it well. It's not a year. It's long. It's been awake for a long time. His brain cannot. He can't. You know, his brain that makes you go to sleep, right? Your brain has to tell your body that shut down. This guy is going to kill himself. Just shut down. Sleep. His brain can't tell himself that he should sleep. So he's awake all the time. How much money? That guy would like to close the eye because I don't think he can be optimal. I don't think he'll be 100% himself. He'll be losing some things. But some of us here, in fact, if I preach too long now, you'll start sleeping. Because you are blessed. Because you are like that. So what you have is big deal. Yes, I know that you want some things, but what you have is big deal. And can I also say, some relationships you have now is big deal. Because some people are looking for new relationship. You don't have a job now. You want a relationship where you be an employee and then you have an employer. You have a boss. So you are really looking forward to that. But can I tell you, the relationship you have a spouse, you have a son, you have a daughter. That relationship, can I tell you, is even better and bigger than the relationship that you are seeking to have. Because the relationships you have now are the foundation for the relationships that are to come. The things you have now are the foundations of things that... And sometimes if you lose what you have now and don't keep what you have now, if you get what you want, you may not be able to keep what you want. For example, if you overpush yourself, if you are so much, money, and you get the money and you lose your health, you will not enjoy the money. And sometimes you even lose the money. There are people that have gone bankrupt on medical bills. Oh, medical bills. God forbid. One sickness, it can wipe away a lifetime of savings. One sickness. But it won't happen to you. In the name of Jesus. So what you have is big deal. What you have is a foundation that you need to build on for what you want. What you have. So take it seriously. And another thing I would like to say here is that, so because what you have is big deal, the relationship that you have is big deal, you need to intentionally make deposits in those relationships. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the most part of this month. How to make deposits in relationships. Deposits in relationships. There are many parents today that they feel their children are not doing what they are supposed to do. But when the children were living in the house, did you do what you were supposed to do as a father? You can't reap what you didn't sow. Because you have watched how children should be treating parents on TV, does not mean it will automatically happen to you. If you didn't sow that as a father, it won't come back to you. If you didn't sow that as a spouse, it will not come back to you. I know that we're going to do Valentine in a couple of weeks. Amen. And people that are in relationships, you know, marital kind of relationship, will be expecting a gift or that kind of stuff. And if it doesn't come, somebody is angry. But are you sowing the right seed? Amen. I know that, yes, the husband should love the wife and the wife should respect the husband, all of that, all 9 yards. But there's also seed. If you've been all grouchy and all of a sudden on Valentine's Day now you are now very nice and wanting to see red roses and flowers and all of that kind of, but you have not deposited anything that will bring flowers. Amen. I was going to say that. In fact, what some people have deposited is thorns that you should bring. Or tissues. So what you should get in the mailbox is something that when you touch it, just choke you. Because that's what you have sown. Can I tell you this? Our relationship needs some deposits. Our relationship needs some deposits. You are a father. You feel like men are just, you know, superstars. You know, just show up. And we don't talk emotions. We just show up. Who told you that? Who told you that men don't talk emotions? You know, I've said this here before. The first time I heard, my mom said, I love you. I thought she was mistaken. Because growing up, they didn't say it. So the first time she said it, because I was in another country and we were on the phone, so I thought she was talking to somebody else. Because my mom said, I love you. Because we knew them to be, you know, they were sitting on the throne, king and queen. They are like this. I'm sure my mom, if you listen to it, you know. Oh, because my mom can still call me and say, what was that? And she listens to this live stream. Mommy, I will finish the story. I'm just starting. but when I first heard that, and things have changed, I'm serious. Things have changed. So I was curious. I was like, love? I mean, I didn't know how to respond. I just did, Then several months or weeks later, she called again and she said, I love you. I said, Then later, I said, me too. And then after a while, I could say, I love you. You know, or like some people say, love you. Those people are afraid to say, I love you. Especially husband and wife, you know, they're on the phone. I love you. You hear the wife, because she's at the store. Love you too. But you see, you can't make withdrawals without deposits. Those things, they are meaningful. Let your children hear and feel affirmation from home. Some people are like, hey, the lady is doing this. At home, she didn't feel loved. At home, she doesn't think that her father loves her. And so anybody that looks like they love her or show her attention, she will be their friend. And in 2018, we had better be smart. We had better be smart. Because there's a lot of things trying to get the attention of our children. So we must first of all be the attention grabber. Amen. You know, like me, I'm ready. I've been doing press up for my daughter. Amen. If you will show up, God will help you. From the spirit to the physical. Kadabuya. You know, so all the love you need to see, I will show you here before somebody come and show you one funny love that is fake love. But deposit. Oh, pastor, you're not calling me, you're not doing this. But pastor, have you doing anything about pastor too? All our pastors here, blessed people, sacrificial people, call people, do this. But sometimes you need to deposit into our lives too. Amen. Because some people just think the pastor church member relationship is only withdrawals. No, it's also deposits. It's also deposit. Remember when Elijah shows up at one widow's house? The widow says, I have only one meal. Elijah said, give me first. If I come to your house and tell you that, some people will slap me. And you say, Pastor, I say, praise God. I just finished leading the prayer for the fasting. I just said, let me come to your house. God bless you. And you say, Pastor, I'm sorry. We just have only one piece of meat. I say, you just go ahead, bring it. Let me take my own first. You say, Pastor, excuse me. What do you mean? I say, I want to eat first. And when I finish it, I'll bless you. You say, no, let's do it the reverse way. Bless me first. Let the food increase. Then I'll put it. Elijah was trying to communicate something there. Deposit precedes withdrawal. Most of the relationship many of us find ourselves in, we are asking that relationship will give us something. But we have not given anything to it. You have not given so much to your relationship with your daughter. You have not given so much to your relationship to your spouse. You have not given so much to your relationship to your boss. But you are wanting to make withdrawals from that. No, it doesn't work that way. Even our relationship with God. There are some of us, we have turned God to an ATM machine. Oh, give me. So when we come to church on Sunday, we are putting pressure on God. And God is like, excuse me. What happened Monday to Saturday? Where were you?
You now come here. God,
do what? Do what? There was Monday to Saturday, you were AWOL, absent. You didn't show up. You didn't speak to me. All of a sudden, Sunday morning, you started. No, it doesn't work that way. Those that honor me, I will honor. Those that treat me lightly, I will lightly esteem them. So every relationship requires deposit. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, what you sow is what you reap. What you sow is what you reap. Let me say this and begin to bring this together. I have also found out that the closer we are to people or things, the easier it is for us to belittle them. If you know somebody long enough, sometimes that's even the premise when you that it's okay, they'll be fine. Oh, your daughter she's feeling one kind. Yeah, it's okay. She's not my daughter. She'll be okay. Oh, your husband? No, it's okay. Many people, church people, respect pastor more than their husband. Can I get amen to that? Oh, should you respect the pastor? Amen. Yeah, the pastor. Yeah. But your husband too is a pastor. Amen. He may not be anointed like the pastor here, but your husband is the pastor over your house, whether you believe it or yes. Amen. So you need to honor him too. You need to respect him too. I've looked at it that the way we treat strangers, if we treat people we know like that, life will be beautiful. We respect them. If a stranger says something, you just smile. You know? You don't see everything you think. But your husband, you see even the one you have not even really thought about, that just came to your mind, just say it immediately. Because he's my husband. Yes. You see your head. Or you see your daughter, you say, your head like your daddy's head. Your leg like so. And you're like, but you don't do that to strangers. You don't do that to strangers. Why? Because they are strangers. I don't know them. Yeah. But the person that you know should not now be, their offense should not be that they know you. Or they've known you for long. Or they are your siblings. Or they are your brothers. Or they are your church members. Because many of us, the way we behave at work, very proper, very nice, very together. And, you know, but when you get to church, you just talk to people anyhow because, I mean, they are church people now, you know. We all believe in Jesus and Jesus will forgive us. It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be. The closer we are to people should not be the worse for us. I've told you the story like this. I've said this story here before. Several years ago, my sister, not the one that you guys know, I have another sister that many people don't know here. She came home and she was like, why is it that people think that you're a nice person? I said, because I'm a nice person. And I thought it was a teachable moment that would teach her something. And I said, because I'm a nice person. She said, really? She said, because they don't live in this house. They don't know that you are not as nice as you are outside. That you are. When she said that to me, big brother, you try to explain it for the moment. But I went back and I started thinking to myself, am I a bad guy? But you see, if we want the measure of a man, it's not the people that don't know him. It's the people that know him. Sometimes I think that when people want to go for elected office, they should interview their family in a way that they don't know they are being interviewed. You know, let them just talk freely. And then they'll say, this person is a bad guy. Because if he can't take care of people that know him well, how can he take care of people that don't know him well? So when people get closer to us, it seems that this saying now becomes true, that familiarity begins to breed contempt. We begin to dishonor the people. We begin to take them for granted. Even if they are your children. Do you know that the Bible says we should also honor our children? Amen? Because they are your children, it does not mean that they are. You can just dishonor them, talk to them, and say anything, do anything about it. No. No. You must respect them. If you are wrong too, you should say, I'm sorry. Amen. Can I get amen to that? Amen. Oh, yes, I'm from that school of thought that parents can be wrong. And me, I'm a parent too. And sometimes I do some things without thinking too fast or too much. And then after you figure out that you didn't do it well, you can't apologize. I've apologized to my children before. They are still young, but I don't want them to believe that daddy is God. I'm not God. I'm a human being.
I make mistakes. And if I make mistakes, yes, I'm sorry. The way I want them to say that to me, too, that's the way I want to be treating them. But you see, it is not only human relationships that people have taken for granted. Very important relationship, God, they take him for granted. When we talk about Thanksgiving Sunday, what is all this? I mean, it's okay. God is good. Oh, God is good. I'm not saying it's not good. But God, please do this. There are some of us, because we have seen God show up, because we have, God has helped us, there are many things God has done for us that we have taken for granted. Good health. That you are even here in this room today. Some people, the prayer point they had 2 years ago was they should be in this place today. Not this room, but this country. So if you are here now, it's now, I'm in this country, but. So some people, they can't say some statements without putting a but. Just enjoy the fact that you are here. Because now the other one is, they are focusing on what they want. And I said that what you have is more important than what you want. Oh, God, yes, I'm here in this country, but I don't know what this Trump is saying. Oh, God, Alpha. So what should you do? What should we do? And I'll bring it like this. You should celebrate. Celebrate the relationships that are in your life. Celebrate the people in your life. Celebrate your children. Celebrate them to their face. I know in Africa, they will tell you something like this, that don't say something so that their head will not swell. Why? Why can't their head not swell? I mean, people's heads don't really swell. But they make it look like if you praise a child, the child will misbehave. No. I think it's the other way. If you praise a child, the child knows that what he did was very good, he will do it again. In fact, psychologists have found that people will repeat what you motivate them on. And the greatest motivation is not spanking. It's not correcting them. It's telling them that you've done good. That you've done well. That thumbs up. That was a good job. Wow, I'm proud of you. That's very good. You did that very well. Celebrate them. Celebrate your spouse. Be like God, who on the third day, everything are not finished. He said it's very good. If it was cooking that you are cooking, and at the third day of your cooking, and you are still going to 6 days, the food is not very good. It's not good at the third day because it's going to 6 days. But God is saying, look, I won't wait till 6 days. I will say it is good on the third day. I will celebrate a half full cup. I wouldn't say it's half empty. Because some people, they are half empty people. Everything, they will speak about it in a negative term. Oh, this snow. This snow. It's just so terrible. But they will never say, thank God that I have a car that I didn't have 2 years ago, 1 year ago. Thank God I have a car. Thank God that I'm not. Do you know that even in the snow, there are people sleeping under the bridge in Chicago? Because I've always wondered, if you want to be homeless, why Chicago? I mean, go to Texas, where you don't need too many blankets. Because in Chicago, even without the blanket, frostbite can kill the person. But there are still people, whether they are doing it willingly or unwillingly, I don't know, but they are there. So if you still have whatever you think is not working for you, you are still better off than a lot of people. So what you should do, celebrate where you are. Celebrate what you have on the way to where you want to be, on the way to what you want. Celebrate the relationships that you have. Amen. The husband that you have, celebrate him. Don't look at another person's husband. Don't you see how that guy dresses? Look at Pastor E. Looking deeper. Yeah. Everybody will look good if they are celebrating. Everybody. Everybody. You know, they will say the grass is green on the other side. But the grass is only green where you water it well. If you don't like the way your grass looks, water it. If you don't like the way your husband, feed him well. Buy him clothes. Just be buying him new clothes every week. He will look like Pastor E. Amen. So what should we do? We should celebrate. Number one, as a way of appreciation. Say, God, thank you for what you've done. And
Do it a lot. Celebrate God, celebrate people as a way of what has happened. As a way of what has happened. Find what they have done and thank them again over a lot of times. It's okay to thank your wife 2 years later for the money she helped you save 2 years ago. It's okay. Don't always look for new things to say thank you about or appreciate her about for. No. Oh, thank you for taking care of our children. Amen. Maybe one day you stay with the children as a guy, only you, and you see, you get the reality of what the woman has been doing. Call her and tell her, man, I didn't know this what you do. I didn't know this when you try to get these people early and then you still meet church at the right time. Man, you guys are doing miracles every week and week out. Amen. Celebrate her. Celebrate your church members. Celebrate your friends. Celebrate them. Celebrate your pastor. Can I get amen to that? Somebody here text me after a service. That was a good message. Do you think I like to hear that? Of course. Because sometimes I go and meet somebody. I say, how was the message today? As if the person says the message is not good, I'll say, okay, I will work better. If you say it's not good, I'll hold you. No, I'm just kidding. But sometimes I'll go and say, how is the message? And some people will just take it upon themselves and text me. And say, that was a good message, powerful message. I say, wow, thank you. It's good. I mean, I'm not a very emotional person, but yeah, sometimes those things help us. Amen. So celebrate as a way of appreciation what has been done. And celebrate as a way of anticipation what needs to be. You know, when God was saying it was good, it was good, it was in anticipation to say it was very good. It was in anticipation. It was setting the stage. Because there is something about what you do repeatedly. You keep having opportunity to do more of it. The reason why many relationships are starved, the reason why there seems to be no love, is because the small love that showed up, you didn't even notice it. You didn't do anything about it. So what happened? You're not going to see more of it. If you want to see more of anything, focus on it. If you want to see your child do more things, that one simple one that, once it does any small thing, just focus on that one. It's like we are trying to see our daughter smile. So if you see one small smile like this, you just keep it in your head. And then you'll be trying the same thing you did that time to make sure that smile happens again, you know. And everybody is going to be feeling like, you know, in the house now, the kids, they feel like we know how to make her smile. So you come and do like this. Say, yeah, she won't smile. Then something will happen, she'll smile. You say, she smiled. The other day, my wife took a picture of her smiling. Why? Because you want that to happen more often. That's how our relationships should be. Anything you want to see more of, once you see a small part of it happen, celebrate it. Make a big deal out of it. See it again and again. Come back and say, man, what you did last week, amazing, beautiful. That food, out of this world. How did you make that? Wow, I loved it. Hey! And that's why I do. That's why I eat good food. Amen. I'm giving you tips of good food. I say, man, I like that fish. It was really tasty. What was the name of the fish? You tell me the name next 2 weeks. I'll say, I like that fish. What's the name of the fish? Celebrate in anticipation. And all of this, we should not restrict it to human relationships. We should think about heavenly relationship. Celebrate God. If there's any relationship that people take for granted, is that relationship out there? Celebrate him for what he has done. Even when it is in February, third day, say it is good. Tell him my year is good. Don't wait. Because some people are still like, it hasn't happened. You are looking at your list. I can't check anything. No, celebrate him now. Don't wait till December. Don't wait till anything happens. We are going to give you opportunity to dance. Don't wait till you get that paper. Amen. Don't wait till you get the job or the spouse or the baby. Whatever you are believing God, do not wait, because you can celebrate God as appreciation of what he has done and even for what he will do. Because he will do that. Can somebody bow their heads this morning and just say, Father, I receive grace to celebrate relationships. My human relationships and my heavenly relationship. In the name of Jesus. Make you just go ahead and pray. I want to celebrate relationships in my life. Human relationship. Divine relationship. Help me. Help me. Help me. To look at things differently. I want to be a half full person. To look at the person that looks at the glass and says, the water in this glass is half full, not half empty. I want to maintain a positive attitude and see what you are doing and see what is happening, to see the good in almost everything. Oh, help me. If you are here this morning and you are saying, I want my relationship with God to be better. My relationship goal this month should start with my relationship with God should be better. If you are here this morning like that, I would like to pray with you. I want my better relationship with God. I just need you to signify by raise of your hand, and then I'll pray with you. I want my relationship with God to be better. Father, we thank you. Oh, yes. I see this one hand up. See another hand up. If you're saying, God, I don't want to take you like an ATM machine. I want to be serious with you. You have been too good to me. I didn't come this far by my own, but I came this far by your help. Oh, Lord, I believe you can help me. Thank you, Jesus. If you raised up your hand, I want you to put your hands on your chest. That hand that you raised, I want you to put it on your chest. And I want you to say this out loud with me. Say, Heavenly Father. The old church can say it with us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of Jesus. I'm sorry that I've taken that gift for granted. But from now on, I receive grace to walk that gift better, to appreciate that gift better in the name of Jesus. I declare that I'm yours from today on. In Jesus' name, amen.